message, letting heaven help you pray. That gives me a lot of space. A lot of room between here and heaven, right? Recently, I shared with you about what happens in the invisible realm when we pray. It's important to know this because God is spirit. And heavenly beings are spirits, angels. But we have the wonderful privilege of communicating with them. And in the case of angels, they are actually spirits who help us to minister and minister to us when we pray. You recall I shared with you about Daniel, the great intercessor. While he prayed 21 days and fasted, an angel named Gabriel came to him and told him about the battle in the heavens and mentioned Michael. The three archangels in heaven are Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer, but Lucifer lost his place through disobedience and became Satan. Now, Satan has now become our wicked enemy who has evil spirits working with him. This is just for the uninitiated, might be. We need help because of the powerful enemy that continually contends with us to disrupt the plan of God. And numerous times in the scriptures, angels came and ministered to people and helped them. I remember many years ago, Billy Graham wrote a book entitled, I Believe in Angels. That means that so much of America didn't, he thought he would put out an apology for the truth of angels. It's been difficult for us in America, or as Americans, to believe in the spiritual realm. I don't know why. Well, of course, it's our upbringing. A lot of it is. But Paul, you remember when he was in a shipwreck, an angel came. Also, an angel came and set Peter free from prison in answer to the prayers of the church. Sometimes the job that you need done really takes an angel. Now, don't keep your mind centered on getting everything worked out with your own wrenches and hammers. There is a spiritual force working all the time in the heavenlies and right here with us on this earth. And Jesus received ministry from angels after he had fasted 40 days and nights. Now, why would he receive ministry? Because he needed it. Jesus had the expectation that the angels would work with him. Do you? Yes. One and a half of them do. That's okay. We're coming along. He also told the disciples, Jesus did, that if he could call his heavenly Father, who would immediately send him the help of legions of angels in Matthew 26. So why do angels do that? The scripture tells us that this is the work that angels do. This is their job. Isn't that great? He's got a whole bunch of beings who do his bidding in a supernatural way with supernatural gifts. I know a man, let's see, he's been here to preach once. I just can't think of his name right now. And I'll tell you after a while. But I don't know if you heard him say this or I heard him preach it somewhere else. He had a terrible problem with his foot. And I pray that the Lord will send that same angel to you, Jimmy. And this angel came to him one night and the Lord opened his eyes. This man's kind of a spiritual person. He sometimes sees angels. And the Lord opened his eyes and he saw an angel standing at the foot of his bed. And the angel, Tracy Harris, thank you. And the angel had this little pouch. An angel had a pouch with him. Now, when I start telling you supernatural things today, you're just going to have to click into another gear. Everybody say, click. Now, this is not the way we normally. By the way, most people don't know anything about this. So I'm telling you some things that I know, that I've seen, that people have told me, and what God's Word says, and it's time we moved into this realm and we just became a working part of it. That's the will of God. So this angel pulled out some sort of a tool like he had never seen before, made some sort of a little movement down here around his foot. He was completely healed, and the angel disappeared. Angels can do stuff like that. Just bring their tools with them. The scripture tells us this is the angel's work. They will help us with the supernatural power. Though most of the time, they are completely invisible. And so don't go around trying to see angels. You might see an angel. Remember when Prophet Victor was here, one of the times he just grinned broadly and he said, "There are seven angels standing in the back of the sanctuary." Did you say 12? Oh, I thought you did, sir. Because Judy remembers better than I do on these details. So he told us those angels were back there. Now, I didn't know there were any angels back there. I was in a meeting one time, and Victor said, "I suppose you know when the atmosphere shifted." And I thought, I'll just look spiritual, and I won't say a word. I didn't feel anything. It's good we have people like that to interpret for us what we ought to be feeling. But here's the rest of the story. You all know Donnie Dye, who used to come to church here. And Donnie helped me with prayer, and he led a group called the Prayer Shield. Purpose was to pray for the pastor and to cover the pastor. And so he, along with some others, Mike McGraw and some of us, went to a meeting in Baltimore. And Victor was speaking, or he was there ministering in the prophetic. You know, people who don't believe, they have to stand down a little bit when they are there and experience these things, which I did. And so he says, and so the angel has come to bring a package. And there's an address on the package. It was like a heavy letter kind of thing. There's a name. Let me read the name. The name is Donnie Dye. I think he said something like unusual, he said. He thought that was unusual, Donnie Dye. You know, English not being his first language, it's amazing to me. The Lord helps him pronounce everybody's name. Because once he had a word for Kathy Dowell. Dowell. He had a struggle with that one. Well, now, I say Dowell. I think a lot of people say Dow. That's the quick way to say it, isn't it? Kathy Dowell. But he got it. And so he had that word for Jim. Get back to Donnie. So he said, and here is what the message is in the letter. And then he prophesied some things over Donnie. He said, by the way, you have a ministry where you work with your pastor in a special kind of way in prayer. And things like that. And then he told him about some jobs he was going to be getting and things like this. Well, the Lord sent an angel to do that. I think that there are people, of course there are people, the Bible says there are, that are called seers. And they do often see things that other people don't see. They're not even better than anybody else, but that's what their gift. They do have that gift. We need more seers. Now, sometimes I've heard people tell stories about angels, and then they just go on and on. The stories get so weird. I just have to say I don't believe it. I'm trying to keep you balanced. But I want you to know when credible people experience it and see it, and when you are there and experiencing and see it, then you become a believer in these things. In Hebrews 1:14, it says, "Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation." An angel told John in the book of Revelation, when they came, you know, he said, "Don't worship us. We are only fellow servants." Revelation 22:8-10. But you know that there's a way, and Jane used the word today, activate. There are some things that need to be activated. We know these things are true, but we need to see them happening. in an ongoing way. Now let me tell you a real safe way about prophetic words or anything, because the Bible says, if the things that the prophet says don't come to pass, you don't have to fear that prophet. So if a person's just always carrying on about something and think, well, maybe, whatever, it doesn't come to pass. There are illegitimate people. But I'm talking about the real prophetic gift, the real angels, the real true work of God. Now, here's an amazing thing. We would all love to have angels ministering with us, wouldn't we? And some people are aware of them when they are present, and others are not. Victor was sitting in my home one day, sitting on the sofa, and he just did that thing he often did. He just smiles and looks up to heaven. You know, he said, you know that there are healings here. You know that there are angels here in the house. They're healing angels. I had another prophetic person say, you know why people come to your house and they just want to sit and sit and they don't want to leave? Oh, well, because they wouldn't be talking to me, I guess. It's because of the angels. They just love the presence there. Now, I've never seen any of these angels. I didn't know there were any. That doesn't keep me from knowing that they are working and doing what God wants them to do. Remember Jeff Collins telling the last time he was here about his friend? I like to never got that name back. I said, what is that friend's name of Jeff Collins? It reminds you of quinoa. What is it? Joaquin. Yeah. I couldn't come up with that, but believe it or not, my computer could spell it. Isn't that amazing? It is amazing. That's a hard name. He and Joaquin, were in a truck, and an angel came and sat between them, and they jumped out of the truck screaming on both sides. But Prophet Victor told me about the one that got in his car with him. Just got in his car with him. And he said, I must have pulled over to the shoulder of the road. And when I came to myself, I think he said it was 4 hours later. In America, they'd had you out of there and checked your ID and all kinds of things, you know. And so he said, let me tell you. He said, have you not seen an angel? And I said, no. And he said, when you do, your life will never be the same again. And you will just get fixed on heavenly things. And you won't want to be entangled in anything down here. You'll get it. You'll get it. So, we don't seem to understand how to get them involved, these angels. Remembering that this is a spiritual battle, we've got to get spiritual understanding about it, right? Heaven wants to help us with the battle because the Holy Spirit has been given to us for this very purpose, to teach us how to pray. Prays through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Gives us words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And so that is one of heaven's helpers to us. And one of the names of the Holy Spirit is helper. But you know, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus expected to get help from angels. And he did. And I think we need to expect to get help from angels. And to have them working with us. Or go before us. Or do the job that needs to be done. I think one of the things is expectation. We need to believe that we're going to see this happen. And so I'm going to talk to you about how you can get them activated in our lives and ministries. And there is one important key, and without this key, we will not be successful in getting this to happen. Angels move in response to the Word of God, prayed by the intercessor. Not just any kind of prayer, but when God's word is specific, his specific word is prayed in faith. That's why it's important not to just ramble on in prayer. Especially when you come together in corporate prayer, our prayers need to be specific and designated and have an end and a purpose in them. In other words, it's not a personal thing when you get into a corporate prayer meeting. It's about praying the prayers that we need to pray together corporately. That's going to change things the way God wants them changed. Gabriel told Daniel, "I have come for your word," didn't he? What kind of word was Daniel speaking? Well, he was quoting what God promised that he was going to do in delivering Israel. And the angel said, "I have come for your word." His word was that he was praying the promised and expected word of God. See, and here's the scripture for this. It's a very important scripture, Psalm 103:19-20. "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength," thank God, "that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word." When we speak God's word, we deploy angels to work on our behalf. He uses the angels to work, and he commands them. It's important that we know this, that angels obey the word of God. They are completely submissive. They're not like us. Somewhat, mostly, depending on the season. And they do not obey us, the angels, and are not told to. But when we speak and declare God's word in faith, the angels hearken to the voice of his word. It's not in our direct authority to command and direct angels, but here's what you can do. You can ask God to send an angel. But there are things that we don't have command over, and we waste our time thinking we do. It's so good to use the time that we have in prayer and in worship to direct them where they're going to accomplish what they need to accomplish. You know, we cast out devils if we need to, but we're not directed to send them to specific places. If you look in the scriptures, we don't know all these things that some charismatic leader is doing. They could be right in things, but sometimes we don't know about it. And sometimes there's not a good basis for the things that people do. But this is why we need to know and pray the Word of God. Now, I want to come down here and talk to you about the angelic culture of the church. How many of you truly believe that there have been, and perhaps are today, angels in our midst? Can anybody think of a scripture that would make you think that there are angels very possibly in the church, even today? Yep. Kids have angels and they come along with them. Yep, we have kids. Yep. And I've got a really good scripture to share with you that that shows us a picture of what God intends for his church. Some people think, thank you. I tried to drop my handkerchief the next time. Some people think that a church is to have a certain description. They're sure that, and so if the church isn't like that, they don't go there, then they go to some other church. Because they've decided what church is supposed to be like. Of course, they could be very surprised one day to find out that God wasn't drawing with the same crayon that they were. You know, there's not one in there that says you have to play all your chords right. Or that your keyboard has to work. Or it doesn't even say that you have to have beautiful voices, which thank God we do. But some people don't have beautiful voices, and they just praise and worship God anyway. Do you think God minds? So some of the things that we think are a part of what makes a church wonderful, the angels are just yawning about. They say, don't bother to go to that one. I just love it. Kenneth Hagin said, he was driving down the road and he said, oh Lord, I'm telling you, that church service just bored me to death. He said, the Lord said, it did me too. Some of our greatest aspirations could be very boring to heaven. Think about it. The angels are a part of the wonderful atmosphere of the Church of the Living God. You can actually, you know, I can feel changes in atmospheres. And I do have a sense, and it doesn't have to be physical to my eyes or to my person. But when there's an atmospheric change, you know something's happened in the spiritual realm. That's why sometimes I'll ask us, can we all just be still? Just let's be really still for a moment. It's because the Lord, I sense the Lord saying something, but I don't have it yet. And sometimes if we just give him a little bit of time, we'll make that breakthrough. As it Kilpatrick calls it, that opening the size of a matchbox. Just have a little opening. God's plan is for angels to be involved with us, ministering to us, and for us, helping us flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Like Ed Miller said to me, there's a lot of healings that's going on in some of the churches, but it's just angels' ministries, blah, 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 and he went on, and I thought, did I hear what he said? Don't pay attention to that. That's just an angel ministry. What he was talking about was he was always after the presence of God. But remember, don't you remember in the Old Testament that the Lord said to Moses, I'll send an angel with you, but I won't go. So we don't want any of that. We don't want something that's less than God or whatever. But we do want the working of angel ministry. I saw a video of William Branham, and you could see the results of this. I could see it's an old black and white film. And he has this woman on stage, and he's talking to her. And all of a sudden, she goes, you know, like this. And he said, now don't get excited. That's just the angel. He's come to be with us. If we want things like this, we're going to have to start believing God. He will do that in our midst because we need him and we need the angel ministries. We need them to work with us. We need them to do all the things that we can't do. And then there are larger ways that we need the angel ministries, like in praying for Kenneth Meshua to become president of South Africa. There's angel ministries that can do all kinds of things in the atmosphere. But how's that going to happen? Is that we're going to praise and worship and really pray, and we get into a realm that, and agreeing with the Word of God, God will release angels. I want to make this as clear as I can, but when you start talking about things that are in this kind of spiritual realm, it's not real easy to articulate some of the things. So put on your sanctified imagination occasionally. Now listen to this. The scripture says, we are not come to Mount Sinai to be afraid and tremble, but we are now in Mount Zion, and we have come to the church of the living God and the company of thousands of angels. There's no shortage of angels. I don't know if Kilpatrick ministered here or somewhere else, but he had counted up the angels that are mentioned in the scriptures. Can you believe it? And for some reason, he thinks there are more now than there were then. I just trust God, there's enough angels. There's just not enough of us to get into the place where we activate them, right? We need to understand it, and we need to do it. We need to learn. So I'm not saying to you that when you're in a prayer meeting, that you pray something like, Lord, please activate the angel. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is the way angels are activated. And you need to get in the realm of the Spirit praying. You need to allow yourself. You know when Jimmy sings a song of free praise like he did this morning? Somebody asked me one time, what does that mean when he does that? I understand that's people that haven't been in the church. And they haven't seen the background where the Lord taught us to sing free praise or the song of the Lord. That just means he's singing out of his spirit. That also means join him, which is what I do. And I suggest that you do that. I think I'd feel weird doing that. You might the first time or two, and then after that, you'll just feel like yourself. All the other wild things you've ever done, just jumped into it and did it. It's wonderful. Okay, in ways like this, you get into the spirit realm when you pray. And the Holy Spirit begins to use you then to make a place where the angels can be activated. So, you know, the book of Revelation says that there are thousands, 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 and thousands. I read someplace that that in the day of the King James, they only counted to something like 10,000s, I think it was, and they didn't have a larger, in the Greek or whatever, they didn't have a larger number for that. So that's why they kept saying 10,000s and 10,000s. I thought, why didn't you just say millions and trillions and bazillions? So Hebrews 12:18-24 is a very encouraging scripture. And I want to read this to you. Verse 18, you have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and whirlwind. That was Old Testament, where men feared God in the wrong way. Then God sent Jesus to show us who he really is. And we all fell in love with him. And we're not afraid of him in a wrong way. We just stand in awe of him all the time. And thank God for his love. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. Wow. They staggered back under God's command. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I'm terrified and trembling. Even Moses is trembling. Verse 22, no, you've come to Mount Zion. That's the church. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless angels in a joyful gathering. Countless. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children. That's us. Whose names are written in heaven. And people think church is about having everything the way they want it. Church is about gathering together with the angels and having a brand new dispensation where we're moved upon by the Holy Ghost and he takes us up into his very presence. So I'll give you an example of how we can activate angels. Everybody ready? Don't run out and do this. Don't leave now. I do believe, church, that it's time that we took some steps. It's not just a matter of forever expecting and being disappointed. Well, it used to happen, you know, in the 50s. And then I heard about the great revival in the Hebrides and in Wales and all that. That's what God wants for his church. And we did have a Holy Ghost revival here in 1980. We had a wonderful revival in 1994. The river. And God can move any way he wants to move. And the later one was different from the first one. But many, many people have come to the church either to visit or to try to find out more about how the Holy Spirit moves and how revival comes and these things. Because I think we have a revival-shaped vacuum in our heart. Where we have a deep yearning to be where things are going on and moving. Well, you know, a sort of kind of little example is like our week of prayer and fasting. Except that it goes deeper and stays all the time. And we want more of that. And we want to see the angels at work in our midst. And some people talk about the angels working as if it's a secret that just a select handful of people know about and they're not going to tell you. And one reason that people don't talk about it is, for one thing, they don't want people running out doing something that they don't have enough experience in God to deal with. But the other thing is, it's not easy to articulate these things. And the third thing is, there are a lot of congregations that are not like I can talk to you today, that you have a level of experience that it won't go over your head. You'll get it. You'll embrace it. You want it. You love it. You're looking for more. More of His presence. More of touching Him. But I don't believe that these angels are going to move for people that are always in a hurry to get away from His presence. I really believe that they're going to start moving when people start yielding themselves to just being in the presence of God, worshiping Him. And when you're in prayer meetings, corporate prayer meetings, you all pray together. That's when you most often begin to see the movement of angels. But you can see them, you could experience it by yourself. It doesn't have to be in a group of people. And I've heard stories that people tell about how an angel comes dressed in ordinary clothes and they don't realize until he's gone. The scripture does talk about angels unaware. You entertain angels unaware, so forth. So there's a lot of scripture about angels. It's amazing. As much advertising that has been done about angels in the Bible, that we're so duh about it. Really. So I think we need to set ourselves to see the angels activated in our very lives. So Psalm 91 is really, you owe it to yourself to memorize it. It's a life and death psalm. It's really what they should have prayed when the Titanic was going down. Psalm 91, verse 9 says this, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Now, I prayed that, verse 11, I pray that regularly for John, because he's had a little stumble or two. He doesn't need to fall. He doesn't need to add anything to the challenge. Is, by the way, he is doing better walking now, and he's gaining new strength, and something has happened. There's been a turn. And so we're looking for that strength to come forth so that he will have the confidence to be able to walk first with his walker and then without it. Or without it, period. Certainly will not tell God how to do this. I say things like that and pray him for our benefit, not for God's. When the angels hear you quoting the truth and the promises of the scripture, they're put into action. Because it is the word of the Lord, and they respond to the word of the Lord. We pray thanking him that these things are true. So we are declaring these things, and that moves God on our behalf. Prayer moves God on our behalf, and he moves angels on our behalf. And you can get into a very powerful realm if you will stick with the word of God when you pray. Now, in my book, Prayer in Another Dimension, Duncan Williams just allowed me to publish the scriptures they used in a prayer summit that they had. It was called Prayer Sheets. And then you had scriptures that were appropriate to what you were praying for. If it was about healing, or if it was about promotion in the Lord, or what if it was about the success in your ministry, they had taken the time to find scriptures that referred exactly to their situation. They sometimes would have three or four of those. And the Holy Spirit would give them those scriptures. Now, sometimes, of course, everything we say and pray is not going to be just the scripture. However, when you pray the scripture, and especially when God gives you a rhema to pray on, that's when you're getting in the territory where the angels can be activated. Remember that David said, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." He said this, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust." How is this going to be activated? I will say. And some of us have been a little bit shy about, you know, coming out with a scripture and thanking God for that and relating back to that scripture. But you make the Most High your refuge by saying of the Lord that He's your dwelling. This gives the angels charge and keeps you from dashing your foot against a stone. And this is your protection. That's how the angels will be involved in your personal life. Now, I count on this. When I fly, the Lord helped me have a prayer to pray that I always pray before flying. And I would thank Him that His faithfulness reaches to the clouds. That's what His word says. And then I would pray that the Lord, that the angels of the Lord would guard the airplane, and that God would have me on the right plane with the right pilot, and that God's protection would be there against anything, could be terrorism or any kind of thing that could happen. Now, some people just jump on a plane and hope for the best. And by the way, the statistics are wonderful. I think planes take off 7 million times before this crash. I've read the statistics. They're just amazing. There's a book called Frequent Flyer. And this man goes with a pilot all of these places. He flies with him. He experiences all these things. The man's been flying 25 years. He says to him, "Tell me about the scariest encounter you've ever had flying." Pilot said, "I've never had one." 25 years. Of course, you know, we show if a plane skids off the runway, we put it on the evening news. Well, that's not serious. I mean, you could get hurt that way, but it's not worth putting on the news, honest. But we have to hype and blow everything up. And because we put certain things on the news so much, it magnifies their importance. Or we get in our minds, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. It can make us a bunch of nervous wrecks. Same thing with newspapers. I quit having time to read the newspaper a long time ago, but John tells me if there's anything important in there. Hey, you know what the most important thing in the newspaper was not too long ago? Amtrak is probably coming to Bristol. I think that's wonderful. Then you can go on a train to Washington, D.C. Woohoo! So next time I go up there to speak, y'all can all go with me. That'll be fun. Now, I want to say this. Those of us that are on the front line, we need angels. We also need security inside ourselves that we are protected. And we don't want to know that we're just praying and hoping. We don't want to think that. We don't want to be nail biters for Jesus. So here's what I think that we can learn to do, church. I think that we can learn to, like, live in Psalm 91 for openers and start declaring that I will say you are my refuge, and I will say you will give your angels charge over me. Or just say it, Lord, you will give your angels charge over me, lest I dash my foot against a stone. He that dwelleth, You got your Bible, you want to read it with me. I just felt I needed to read this to you before I finish today. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, and if you have it memorized, go ahead and say it, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth noonday. Comma here. Just a comma here. I want you to pray those verses right in there in flu season. That pestilence, those terrors, they can happen to other people, but because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, he's going to give his angels charge over me. I think there's too many unemployed angels right now that need to have jobs to do. 1,000, verse 7, shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You'll watch it happening to others, and it won't happen to you. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands. What a picture. Lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread on the lion and the adder, the lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. It's a love thing. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call on me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now that is a psalm of personal protection. And John and I have this life lock thing that's supposed to protect your identity, your personal identity. They promise that they will spend $1 million to put it all back in order if something gets out of order. That is nothing compared to this. This is coverage for everything. And the price has already been paid in the blood of Jesus, which no value can be placed upon. And it is absolutely true, and it will come to pass for you. When I pray at night, one of the things I pray before I go to bed at night is, thank you, Lord, for your angels that are stationed in our home and will protect us from any kind of calamity, and that will also minister healing to us, since I've been told they're healing angels in my house. And I thank you and praise you, Lord. And I pray things like this. Any curse that has been brought against me or my home or this church, I declare in Jesus by his blood, it has no power. Well, why would you pray something like that? Because I know about some curses. And if you're not willing to be on the offense and to do what God has told us to do, then there are kinks in our chinks. Thank you. There are chinks. No clinks. Oiled that armor last week. So anyway, there will be places the enemy can break through. I think I like preaching too much. Just have too much fun. It is so much fun to find out what's in the Word of God for us. But it's a very serious thing because it's a heavenly matter, and God has supplied every need that we have. So how many of you will say, now, I am ready now to start believing for angels in our midst? Now, but what about the others? Shall we pray for you? All right. Now, how many of you are going to start believing with us that angels are going to start doing their work here? Now, it doesn't make a lot of difference whether you see them or not. It's not about seeing them. It's better felt than telt. It's about getting what they want to bring us from heavenly places. And the Lord dispatched angels all the time in battles. He did all kinds of things to show that He is in charge of every battle. So let me help you with having some peace. Don't try to fight the battles, but bring it to the Lord and call on His name. You can ask Him, Lord, will you send battle angels to battle and fight? And Lord, will you defend me? You are my defender. Look in Psalm 91 and see how many things He's promised that are yours. And just when I think about that he even cares if we would stumble and fall. Any little thing like that, He's concerned. And He also says that with long life, I will satisfy you. Let me just close with this. I had a prophecy in 2006 in Ghana. And Jane and Jimmy were there with me. And actually, T.L. Osborne was the speaker. But we were with Archbishop Duncan Williams. And we were in his all-night prayer meeting. Well, you go at 12. You go at 12 p.m. and you pray the rest of the night. I don't think they need to sleep or eat over there. I don't know what the deal is. They're tremendous fasters. I don't care whether they sleep or not. If we didn't have those two things getting our way, we could accomplish a lot too, couldn't we? And so there was a young prophet there that Archbishop was his mentor. And so he prophesied to me. He really knew nothing about me, my background, my past. He probably was told I was a woman from America. And nothing more than that. And he began to prophesy so that I would know that he knew. That I would know that he knew who I was by the Spirit, because he began to tell me things that had happened in my life years ago and why God had allowed that, what God's purpose was in that. And I thought, well, that is amazing. And then he said this amazing thing, because I wanted to bring it home by making it personal. Then he said, the angel came at the time you were born and gave you the seed of the vision that God has set for you and for your life. And he said, and then as the Lord continued with you in ministry, he told me some about my ministry and so forth. He said, then there was another time that there was a threat. It was a threat to the purpose of the seed. And the angel came again. I just think this is so fascinating. The angel's working in our lives and we don't even know it. Because God loves us so much and because the angels are obedient. And the angel said, no. So the seed was not corrupted. And you were able to go forward according to God's will. I thought, well, this is one amazing thing. You remember the story about John Kilpatrick? And this is how angels work in the atmosphere. And that's what this angel did the second time he came. He was just working in the atmosphere. Now, that's a heavenly reality there. Right. I'll close with this little story about John Kilpatrick. He's told it here, but some of you weren't here then, didn't hear it. But he said that when he was, I think he was 17, he loved his pastor so much, but the people in the church wanted to get rid of the pastor. He's probably going to preach some things to get him closer to the plan of God, and you know how that's hard on the flesh sometimes. And so he said these men were trying to get rid of him. So we went to the prayer meeting. They had a prayer meeting every night. I mean, some of these things, you hear about people that can do great things, and you think, well, I'd like that, but maybe you wouldn't want to do just what they did. Everybody's not supposed to do what everybody else does. Everybody's not Heidi Baker. I'm not sure that you would want to go out there where 150 people had cholera and go through the tent and hold those people and love them and see not one of them die. Cholera is a killing disease. It's horrible. And they had an outbreak of cholera, not where I was, but nearby when I was there. So they immediately quit drinking the water. Everybody is scared of cholera. Back to John Kilpatrick. His pastor announced that night that he was going to be moving to another church, that he'd be leaving the church. He said, my heart felt like a lump of stone. He loved his pastor so very much. He said, oh, this just cannot happen. This just cannot happen. And they went ahead and prayed like they normally did. I think he said, Kilpatrick said he would always take his shoes off and they would pray. And as they were praying, they heard the back doors to the church opening. And the doorknobs hit against, he said, I can still remember the sound of those doorknobs hitting against the walls as those two doors were open. And then two huge angels, we all saw them. This is why John Kilpatrick is so wild. This is why he's a do-anything person for Jesus. He's looked into the heavenly things too much, you know. And then you understand how silly what color the carpet is in the church might be and all that kind of, you know, all these little preferences. So the angels, now I'm talking about angels will change your atmosphere. You want angels maybe in your home to change your atmosphere. And maybe in your workplace to change an atmosphere that's gone south. Whatever it is that you need. And you can ask God if he will send angels into those situations. So these angels marched down the aisle like two soldiers. And when they got to the front of the church, they turned around like soldiers. And they stood stiff as two soldiers. He said, I guess they stood there for 15 or 20 minutes. He said, I was saying, oh no, Lord, I'm too young to die. I've seen angels, what does this mean? He said, and then after they stood there for that period of time, they turned, walked around on out into the street where the traffic was passing by. The men followed them to the door as they saw them leaving. It was still night. They woke up about 4 or 5 hours later, it was daylight, in a pile at the front door where they'd fallen on top of each other when they fell. And he said, that's why I can never be the same. And you see things like, you see the things that God can do. There's a lot of things God isn't doing that needs to be done. Because people haven't seen what he can do, and they're not willing to give of themselves and come into the things of God and become worshipers and hang in there and stay with it when we are worshiping and when we are praying. It's worth it, church. You may not feel it in your flesh, but things happen in the atmosphere. So then the pastor, Kilpatrick's pastor, everything changed. All the angels did was their atmosphere change that whole situation where they were going to get rid of the pastor. Wow. If someone knew how to franchise that. Pastor delivering angels. He's a great God, isn't he? Let's stand in his presence.